Prepare yourselves, Bucs fans. Unleashed from the corporate shackles of the Tampa Tribune, Tampa Bay's only Pro Football Hall of Fame voter is finally free to speak his mind. That's Ira Kaufman, the custodian of Canton himself. The Ira Kaufman podcast is presented exclusively by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa on Fletcher, just west of 275, and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, Brandon's only luxury dealership. The best ever summer sale event is on now at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Turn up the volume, put up your feet. The Ira Kaufman podcast is on at JoeBucksFan.com.
5 days at training camp in, and it's time for another Ira Kaufman podcast with the custodian of Canton. Of course, that's you, Ira. You're here. We're at One Buck Palace again. 5 days of camp is in. We got a little bit of a breather today, but it's still in full swing. And I wanted to ask you about pass defense. This new Mike Smith approach to pass defense, what are you seeing that's different? What do fans need to know?
Joe, I don't think any portion of the 2015 Bucs season frustrated the fans more than that pathetic performance against opposing passers. I will point out a 70% completion percentage. Now, look, this is not 1977 when completing 52% of your passes was considered good. I understand that. But 70% is totally unacceptable. And I believe that last year's philosophy was don't get beat deep. Well, to an extent, they were successful in that. They didn't give up a lot of passes 20 and 40 yards, but they got beat short. And beat short and beat short as teams marched up and down the field, converting third downs at an atrocious rate. Buck defense couldn't get off the field. Enter Mike Smith, new defensive coordinator, well-versed with what Dirk Cutter wants to do. And I think the key word, Joe, is going to be aggressive. Last year, we saw a lot of passivity. This year, aggression. Better pass rush. Tighter coverage. You know, they weren't facing speedsters every week, but it seemed like every receiver was lined up 9 yards away from the closest Buck defensive back. That's got to change, and I think it will.
So five practices. Give us a nugget, something you've seen that you like that's in that realm of change and aggression.
I think the cushion has shrunk, and it better shrink. Not everybody in this league is Julio Jones, may I say. And you play it accordingly. The passive approach, you know, it doesn't work, Joe, unless you have studs like Warren Sapp and Simeon Rice. They don't let teams go 12 and 13 plays down the field, and that was the Dungy philosophy. And that worked to a great extent because either a penalty or a sack or a turnover is going to screw up the other team's drive. We didn't see that last year. We saw those drives end in the end zone. And I'm seeing less of a cushion in training camp. Now, it's, you know, I understand it's underwear football, guys. It's underwear football. But I think the players are going to enjoy it. The Verners, the Bankses of the world, the Hargraves, even as a new kid, they're going to enjoy this new aggressive approach.
To add on what Ira said, I was speaking with Mike Smith briefly after practice today. We got to talking about Verner. We got to talking about Brent Grimes. And he said he's going to use more press coverage because he has two guys on his roster that in the past have proven to be good press coverage people. Again, that would be Grimes and that would be Verner. So I think Bucs fans, what frustrated Bucs fans, and I was right, all the passing completions, what really drove Bucs fans nuts was slant passes that looked to be uncovered, undefended, and guys were getting, you know, 7-11 yards at a pop all game long. And this year, I actually think Bucs fans might be able to see. They might see a cornerback touch a receiver at the line of scrimmage to try to throw him off. Imagine that.
Now, one thing that's interesting about Verner is that when he was actually in Tennessee, he was known for playing 6-7 yards off a receiver. And when he came here to Tampa, there was a lot of talk about, and I remember having a chat with him, about how he needed in Lovey's defense to be 3-4 yards off instead of 7. He liked to line up way off and then sort of close on a guy and sort of had that type of press style, if you will. But doesn't mean he can't do other things. It'll be interesting to see how he's used, but he seems so rejuvenated and so much happier. And you see him flashing more in practice in 5 days. I'm happy for the guy, 27 years old. If he can come back, wow.
Joe, I'm hard-pressed to think of another Buccaneer that is more enthused about resurrecting his career. Now, last year, Doug Martin resurrected his career. To a certain extent, Charles Sims, but he only had a rookie year, but it was a disappointing rookie year. He's now a proven stud in this league. When I look at this defense, I'm looking at Alterin Werner and Jonathan Banks, but Werner in particular, because he was a pro bowler in Tennessee. I've got a lot of faith in Mike Smith when he's fully in charge of a defense, as he was in Jacksonville, as opposed to when he was a head coach in Atlanta, and had a narrow focus only on defense. Mike Smith's track record is very good in terms of utilizing his personnel and putting guys in position to succeed.
I would not be surprised. Last year, us included, Joe, I'm speaking fourth term here, not second, not third, but fourth. Pardon me. We banged on the offensive line prior to the season thinking this is going to be a mess. You got two rookies, one Division III guy, two other guys you pulled off the street after preseason began. This is going to be an utter mess.
And it was just no faith in Warhop at that point.
Yeah, at that point, and it turned out to be a strength. I would not be shocked that this year, the secondary, which on paper prior to training camp looked to be a sieve, right now I would not be shocked if that turns into a strength.
And I'll say, Ira, you look great in this navy blue. You've got many colors of your gear from Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. This is your look. You stick with the navy.
And I had a hat on this morning too.
I didn't catch the hat. I was watching the field. I'm not watching your head.
White hat with Cadillac, and look, we're a week removed from sitting in the back of that Cadillac, Steve. I'm still dreaming about
it. It was the front seat, Ira. Front seat. It just sounds funny.
I'm so used to being in the back seat of a car.
You look dapper, Ira. You look dapper.
But on Mike Smith, Ira, when it comes to the pass rush here, now I know you've written about in your columns on JoeBucksFan.com, you referenced the liberation, not just of yourself, but of a Levante David.
Yes.
To be free. Now, that doesn't get spoken a lot about because I think there's still the Lovie Smith mafia who doesn't want to believe that maybe David wasn't handled right by the Bucks' greatest linebackers coach in history, team history. But he didn't produce to his ability, and he got off to a very slow start last year. How much of a factor do you think this is for Mike Smith?
You know, it's interesting that you bring up Levante David. One of the things that I think might have thrown people off a little bit was the early comparisons to Derrick Brooks, while totally unfair, of course, to a young player like David. But Brooks seldom was utilized on the pass rush capacity. He was so good covering in space, why would you want him anywhere else? Doesn't mean he couldn't have done it, but that was his forte. Now, David is fine in covering in space, but we saw under Bill Sheridan, of all people, in the Greg Schiano regime, this guy had 7 sacks. That is a very healthy total for a guy who's not coming off the edge like a 3-4 Justin Houston type. I dare say if Levante David gets 7 sacks in 2016, I like the chances of the Buck defense to make a big rebound. So we'll see what Mike Smith does with him.
Oh, sure. And to help you out and to reinforce your points, Ira, when you wrote that column, there was some feedback, some blowback from our readers that they thought you were suggesting Levante David was a bad player.
He wasn't.
Correct. He was not a bad player. He just didn't play as well as he played with Schiano. And that, to me, suggests that he wasn't utilized properly.
Well, two things that I hope, some more homework for you, Ira. You already have your homework assignment to ask John Lynch about Bradley McDougald, because, of course, you're off to Canton.
That's right.
This week, you'll be up there for all the festivities as the custodian of Canton and Hall of Fame, Tony Dungy, and all the parties and all the wine you drink and all that stuff. But one thing that I would like you to do is maybe ask Mr. Derrick Brooks about David in this defense. Brooks has been quite quiet since the change of regime. And I will say this, it was Brooks himself speaking on Steve Dumig's show back in 2013, maybe the beginning of 14, it was Brooks himself who compared David to him and said, Levante David is farther ahead than I was at this age, that he is a better player than I was at the same age. And something happened. with David and Lovey's defense, where he couldn't take a next step and took a half a step back while still being a great player.
That's right.
So it's an interesting dynamic.
I will spend much time with Mr. Brooks during my time in Canton. I look forward to that, Steve. I want to gather up a few more accolades about John Lynch that I can bring into the room next February, push him over the top. Maybe Brooks will sit down and tell me exactly what Lynch's role was, because I've heard from Tony Dungy himself, no player in that Buck defense had more responsibilities than John Lynch did, more than Brooks, more than Rondé, more than Sapp. So I want to hear a little bit more about that, and I'll get him to talk a little bit about Levante.
That's some heavy artillery right there for your next presentation of John Lynch.
I wish you guys were in the room with me to hear it.
No, you don't.
No, I won't be up in Canton. I won't be heckling Father Dungy. So.
But Howard Balzer will be in that room, and he's part of the Joe Buck's family, too.
Yeah, of course, everybody can check out BalzerFootball.com, and when Howard comes to town, we will, of course, talk to him, and maybe even on the Ira Kaufman podcast.
That gives you two selectors under your umbrella.
We're gunning for three, but that's going to take a while.
All right, Peter King, you're working on.
Yeah, he's here Saturday.
Okay.
All right, Bucks fans, hope you enjoyed the Ira Kaufman podcast.
You've been listening to the Ira Kaufman Podcast on JoeBucksFan.com, brought to you by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.